Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. Okay, well, we have a lot to talk about this week.
It's been a good week.
Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
Real Housewives of New Jersey, we're in the Hamptons.
Yes.
Lots of money talk.
Mm.
Real Housewives of Atlanta, you were right about something last week.
I sure was.
So we'll get into that. Plus, we have interviews with Jackie Goldschneider from Real Housewives of Jersey. You spoke with Kristen Doty from Vanderpump Rules.
That was fun.
And of course, we'll end with Rose and Thorne.
Great.
Do you want to tell everyone what else we did that was really exciting?
We were guests on another podcast. It was sort of a change of pace for us. We always watch really crazy episodes of Bravo and then talk about it on this podcast. This time we were tasked with watching a Hallmark movie and recapping it on the Bubbly Sesh podcast.
It was super fun. We watched a movie called Love on Iceland. And if you guys love Hallmark movies, check it out and listen to our episode. It came out earlier this week. And it was just nice. It was very safe and comforting and happy endings.
It was unlike the Real Housewives of Orange County trip to Iceland, but there was pickled herring.
Okay, Real Housewives of Jersey, we're in the Hamptons.
Not only are we in the Hamptons, but we're going to Topping Rose, which is where the Real Housewives of New York go all the time when they're in the Hamptons.
I know. I feel like there's a lot of crossover with like Jersey and New York because... like, it's kind of a thing where Jersey always uses New York as their vacation or whatever.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just easier that way. Or I guess people go to the Jersey Shore and whatnot, too. But for a little luxury living.
I also have a theory that it's like the one restaurant in the Hamptons that will allow filming.
Right.
Because I remember watching a spinoff. It was like Courtney and Khloe take... the Hamptons, talking about Keeping Up with the Kardashians, obviously. And like they showed how people in the Hamptons were like, get out. We don't want you here.
Thank you, Topping Rose, for allowing us to put our cameras in there.
Yes.
I wanted to point out at the beginning of the episode, Teresa is our second Bravo celebrity of late who did not know who Charles Manson was.
Teresa, Charles Manson never did anything to me. I'm not going to bring him into my friend group. Do you know what I'm saying?
Who's Charles Manson?
Do you remember last season Raquel was like, I don't know who that is.
It's just very upsetting on so many levels.
I feel like I knew who Charles Manson was when I was a child. Like, just from the news
and
just, like, pop culture, like, it.
It's up there with Marilyn Monroe in terms of just, like, pop culture. Like, its place in pop culture. But also, Margaret was wrong, too. She described him as a murderer. Technically, no. Just
he
a
didn't
cult
kill
leader.
Anybody.
Yeah.
Right. It's always the tricky one. Did you ever see, I'm sure you didn't, because I don't think a lot of people did, there was, like, a... Sharon Tate movie starring Hilary Duff.
Didn't watch it, but yes, heard of it. Because again, I pay attention, Teresa.
Right.
Pay attention, please.
So I want to talk about the idea of money talks and wealth whispers.
Yes.
Because this came up on last season of Married to Medicine too. Buffy said it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of seeing that with Jackie this season.
I will say that that also came up. Dorinda says it to Sonia. I think it was her first season on Real Housewives of New York.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Jackie is loaded.
We still don't know how much.
Well, you will hear a little bit later on.
She tells you how
interview.
Much is in her checking
she
account.
She did not. I was very careful to not be like Jennifer, even though I wanted to sit here and be like Jennifer and just ask her all of these questions to find out. But, you know, I got into like, how many properties do you have or what's your favorite property? So we talked a little bit, but really she talks about how she just really learned how to invest. And she was very lucky to, you know, have her parents. They did really well. They came from nothing, did really well, and kind of set her up to have a successful future, which is great. So you'll hear her talk a little bit more about that. But it's interesting because last season, you know, we really didn't get too much of a glimpse into her life and how much money she might have. But now we're seeing this Hamptons home, and you'll hear in her interview later, like, she's got some pennies.
Yeah. On one hand, I think that there's something cute about the fact that Jennifer is like a little girl in a candy store and she's like, you have money? I have money too. Let's talk about our money.
You got family money?
Shh, wait a second. Are your panties moist? What's going on here?
But at the other hand, it's like, no. Like, that is so not okay to ask.
Right. I mean, if they were like closer and it wasn't in front of everyone and it was sort of like, let's be real with each other, like girl to girl. That's one thing. But it's sort of like Jackie's not going to just start telling everybody all this stuff in front of everyone. Like, no.
I remember moving to New York and I feel like people are a lot more, how much do you pay in rent? And that really freaked me out in the beginning. I'm like, who talks about that?
Right. But I don't even want to admit it to myself. Right. Never mind other people. You know, like, it's just like really throwing money away. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, it is interesting how these conversations come up. Because also even like in the workplace, sometimes, you know, finding out how much other people make or whatever, like it's not really talked about. But sometimes I feel like it should be in certain instances. So you can kind of just like base what you're doing on, you know, other information. But I don't know. It is tacky, I think. In a situation like this, for Jennifer to be asking the way she is.
Yes. But also, I got what Melissa was saying at the end. Did you? I mean,
what was she saying again?
She was saying, she was sticking up for Jackie and saying to Jennifer, look, she's the one winning here. That right. She isn't spending crazy amounts of money on parties. We're the idiots that are just like throwing cash around. She's going to be, her kids are going to be set up for life. And then it's like everyone got real like up in arms. Like, why are you throwing me into this? But it's true what she's saying.
Yeah.
Guess who's winning? This motherfucker right here.
What are you talking about?
Because she's a saver.
Winning
she's
what?
Very smart. She's not about the show. In the long run, you watch whose children are set up nice
set
in,
up for life.
In 30 years. We're losers. She's winning.
Well, and then, you know, Jennifer is just like a runaway train. When she gets going, she can't stop. And then I think she says a lot of things that she regrets. And we see her taking some digs at Jackie. And then with what Melissa says, she throws it back at her like, well, what? You think my kids aren't going to be set up for the future? And just kind of blows it a little bit more out of proportion than it needs to be. But it's just like when that tequila hits, Jennifer is just, she goes off.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt bad for Jackie because you could see she was getting really upset about it. And like, you could see the fire in her eyes of being like, how dare you come for like my children's birthday party? Because really at the end of the day, you know, what Jackie says is like, don't throw a party for your neighbors, throw a party for your kids. And if your kids ask for pizza and just whatever, and like, they don't care about an Amazon box that's sitting in the driveway that has goodies in it. Like, they're kids. They're going to take it. It doesn't have to be this over-the-top, extravagant, look at this slide, look at this pool, look at this trampoline. And I feel like Jennifer just doesn't really know how else to do things if they're not, like, over-the-top.
Yeah.
And that's part of her personality, too. So, I mean, you can't really fault her for that, but she shouldn't be critical of Jackie.
Also, I just thought it was sort of a stretch for Margaret to bring it back to food issues.
Yeah. I think Margaret thought that too after she said it.
Probably.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Because it just, I don't think it is related.
Yeah.
At all. I got the chance to talk to Real Housewives of New Jersey's Jackie Goldschneider, and she revealed where her family money comes from, her reaction to Danielle Staub announcing that she's leaving Real Housewives of New Jersey, and where she currently stands friendship-wise with Jennifer Aiden. Plus, she shares what it's like having the hottest house husband, Evan. Here's that interview. Guys, we are here with Jackie Goldschneider. She is back.
Hello, everyone. I'm great.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. How long can we say that for?
I don't know. I feel like it's the first time you see a person in
January,
the New Year.
Yeah.
Right? But okay. Maybe by like February we're done.
Yeah, we're going to stop.
Yeah, we have to be done. So before we get into the Hamptons, I want to go back a little bit because last time you were here, we talked about your dad and the comments that he was making about the video that mm-hmm. you guys watched. So yeah. What was the fan reaction to that episode?
Well, the way that the commercial showed him responding, it was worth it to me saying I almost died. So he was like, Jackie, I know I didn't say that. And he was really upset about it. But when that episode played out, you see that he said it's almost worth it when I said, you know, I had to, you know, I spent years not eating and like it was really hard for me. And that, you know, it's not that much better that he said it then, but it wasn't in response to I almost died. So, but fans had a very harsh reaction about it initially. They said, what an awful thing to say to your daughter. And I felt very defensive for my father.
Of course.
Because in part it was my fault. I had never shared with him what I was going through. I was very secretive about it. In general, I don't tend to air my dirty laundry. If I'm struggling with something, I do it and I get through it how I can. And I really didn't tell my parents what I was going through. So I'm not surprised that he didn't know that he would think it's worth it to have to work really hard in order to achieve a great body.
Of course. Yeah. Well, on the flip side, like as a parent, what have the conversations been like for you with your kids?
Right. Well, it definitely opened up a lot of conversations about eating healthy and watching what you eat, and also how to eat things that maybe aren't so healthy, and that's okay, but balance it with a good amount of exercise. All the things I didn't know growing up, really. I mean, my parents both worked full time. No one was around teaching me this stuff. So when I wanted to lose weight, I just really stopped eating. Right. I mean, I bought some Melba toast and cottage cheese, and that's all I ate for a long time. So it opened up a lot of conversations for me to explain to them about how to maintain a balance and why it's so important to be outside exercising. So it's been very helpful in my own real life.
Yeah. We also talked last time about the Jamaica trip, and you were not aware of the conversations that were happening about your eating habits. So what was your reaction when you finally saw that episode?
You know, I feel like I've sort of been like outed, because I do still have issues. And that's why, you know, some people, you know, might say, oh, the eating disorder's in her past, like, why is it relevant now? But it's really something that I still struggle with. And so I've come a very long way in terms of eating meals. I used to not eat any meals out at restaurants. I, like, would push my food around, drink water, and not eat anything. So the way I eat now is 1,000 times better, but I still struggle a lot. Yeah. I can't let go of a lot of the restrictions that I have on myself, and I think you see that clearly in Jamaica. And and at first I was a little bit embarrassed, but then I realized that there's so many women who probably struggle with this too, that I was happy to be,
of course,
you know, bringing it out.
Yeah. Well, let's fast forward a little bit. I want to talk about, we get to the Hamptons, Teresa walks in, what's the vibe in the room, because she launches right into Margaret.
Yeah, I thought that the Hamptons is such a happy place. Like, I always go with my kids and my family, and like, we get there and like, everyone's just in a good mood. You're on the beach, the sun is shining. So I thought it would be a great place. Legit thought that everyone would get there and be like, oh, let's like put this to bed. Let's hug it out, you know? But Teresa came in and she was just pissed. I guess I don't know Teresa really as well as I think I do, because she is just angry sometimes and like doesn't want to let it go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the vibe definitely changed, because me and Melissa and Margaret got there. When me and Melissa and Margaret are together, we're very like, let's drink, let's have a good time, let's party. And like, the vibe definitely changed when Teresa came in. She was pissed.
Why do you think at that point Teresa was still siding with Danielle, given her friendship with Margaret?
I think at the point that she walked in the house, she was so upset about not being invited to Margaret's Mother's Day brunch that, of course, she's going to side with Danielle.
Yeah.
She, you know, Teresa seems to be the type of person that if you haven't hurt her, she has nothing against you. And that's exactly what it was with Danielle.
Right. It was more so that she was just like upset with Margaret, so she just like had to be on Danielle's side.
Mm-hmm. Plus she spends a lot of time with Danielle, so she knows Danielle's side of it. She's getting a lot from, you know, her ear is constantly with Danielle.
Right.
So she knows the way Danielle feels about it, not the way Margaret really feels about it.
Speaking of Danielle, what was your reaction to her announcement that she's leaving the show?
I was like not surprised at all. I was surprised that she had the audacity to make that announcement. It's like, okay, tell us something we didn't know. But yeah, I wasn't surprised, but I'm eager to see how her cooking show goes.
Me too.
Yeah.
So when we're in the Hamptons, the whole conversation comes up about money and family money. So can you share a little bit about where your family money comes from? You said your parents worked full-time growing up. So where did that come from?
Okay. So my parents both came from absolutely nothing. My father grew up in the projects in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And my mother grew up in Israel and came over here at 13 years old. She didn't speak any English. Her parents had not a penny. They moved in with relatives in Brooklyn, and my mother ended up graduating valedictorian of her high school.
Wow.
And she went to Brooklyn College, and she started a computer software consulting firm when she was in her, I believe, her late 20s, early 30s. And she ended up writing a lot of the software that huge companies were using like Lucent and everything. She was, I love looking at her college yearbook because she was the only woman in the entire economics chapter of the yearbook. All the women were in the education section, and it was just her and like 200 men in the economics section.
That's so
badass. I thought it was so awesome. And my parents were very smart about it. My father also did very well for himself, and they, and my mom, everything that they made together, they started investing, and they invested in stocks, they invested in real estate, and they really did amazingly well for themselves. So anybody that I was going to marry was going to have to sign a prenup.
Right.
And of course, Evan was, you know, he came from some money too, and he was so smart. He got his MBA from Georgetown. He went to the University of Michigan. He was killing it in finance. And so it seemed funny to make him sign a prenup, but we both didn't care because we don't live off that money at all. We don't touch it at all. But yeah. I do come from money, but you wouldn't know it. Like until this week, you almost think that I'm the poor cast member because, you know, I toss an Amazon box at my kids.
Right.
And,
pizza party.
But I didn't grow up. Like by the time my parents really started making money, I was already like a teenager. I was already almost like 13 years old. So I grew up in a little house in Staten Island, and like I was a scruffy kid,
yeah.
You know, like I didn't really have any money. I would beg my parents for a few dollars to go into town to buy Swedish fish. So I didn't like, so the way I am, money to me is not what makes you an impressive person or an admirable person. So mm-hmm. It's not something that you brag about, you know, and I buy things. I do spend money, but I just don't flash it all over Instagram because right. I find it tacky.
So did you learn about investing from your parents? Like, is that where you got a lot of your tips?
Well, I'm also kind of smart. And so I knew that. So anytime that the trust would, I knew I didn't want to live off this trust.
Yeah.
I knew that I wanted to make my own living, and I knew I wanted to be a lawyer. And Evan and I do very well together. I did well as a lawyer. And then once when the trust would give me some money, I didn't take anything. I would invest everything in real estate. So anytime I would get something for 20 years, I would invest it in real estate, and my real estate holdings have really, really done well. So I don't liquidate anything. I don't sell anything.
Yeah.
But real estate wise, we're doing well, but we don't live on any of that money.
Right.
But I do have it. I mean, I do have a trust fund.
Yeah.
You know,
so I won't ask you how many properties you have, but I will ask, do you have a favorite property that we haven't seen on the show yet?
Most of my properties are in Manhattan.
Okay.
So the only property, and I don't touch any of them. And actually, when Evan and I bought the Hamptons house, I had trust money, and I said, do you want to go in together and buy this together as an investment? And he was into that. So that's why we own that one together. And it's probably the only one you would see because I don't ever go near any of the other ones. I just rent them out. And something else you don't know, I run a small real estate management company.
Okay.
So I manage all of those properties. But I have some apartments in Manhattan that are fabulous. I guess my favorite one is the one where I used to live. So now I rent that one out. I did live in it for a little while. And I had my first two kids there in the city.
Where is it?
It's on the Upper West Side.
Oh, nice.
So that one holds a special place because when I look at that second bedroom, I envision two little cribs in there and my baby's in there. And so that one's my favorite.
Okay.
But the Hamptons house, I mean, nothing is better than that.
I mean, no way.
It there.
So do you think when all of this comes out, there's this revelation almost about this money. Do you think Jennifer's opinion of you kind of changed?
Well, I think Jennifer is very impressed by money.
Yeah.
And I think that she now views me as, oh, my God, what's wrong with her? Why isn't she spending this money? Which is a total misconception because I spend the money.
Right.
I just don't show it off. I mean, if you look in my closet, you'll see probably double the amount of Chanel bags that Jennifer has. But I would never put that on Instagram, like, because it's not, it's just tacky. You know,
right.
It's probably tacky for me to even say that. It's just that, like, when I sit courtside at the Knicks, I don't put it on Instagram.
Right.
And Jennifer, that would be her, like, story of the week, you know? So I think she's kind of like, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you spending your money? So she just can't understand. She's very confused. And then she makes the comment about a husband needs to be smarter than his wife. So I think there's a lot of very old-fashioned thinking around Jennifer's right. way of life. And so I don't want to judge it. You know, so I'm trying not to judge it because I think it's ingrained in her from generations of Middle Eastern culture. Yeah. And I don't know anything about that.
Right. Well, even at this dinner, you know, I mean, we've seen a couple different sides of Jennifer this season just in regards of talking to her mom about her brother's sexuality. And mm-hmm. so one minute you're like, Jen is, you know, she has a big heart. She mm-hmm. really cares about people. And mm-hmm. then the next minute she sort of, you know, spirals out of control and starts talking to you at this dinner about yeah. how you're like cheap.
Yeah.
So, like, what is that? How did you react to her flipping out like that?
At the lunch, you mean?
When oh, yes,
she
the
called
lunch.
Me cheap? Yeah. That really got under my skin. Yeah. I can tolerate a lot before I explode, but when you imply that I am that I'm taking things away from my children
right.
for my own benefit and spending the money on myself instead, then A, you clearly don't understand the type of money that I have, because buying my kids food wouldn't take anything away from me.
Yeah.
But B, first of all, you didn't see that there was a whole sandwich platter in my kitchen. But when a party is from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock in your driveway and it's a drop-off party, how much food do you really need to supply to adults? That's just not the way that I throw parties. I don't care about impressing anybody. I had sandwiches in the kitchen. I had a vegetable tray also. I had a lot of wine. But my main focus at a party is what the kids will like and what makes the kids happy. So when she implied that I cheaped out on this party, it, like, I really try hard in and out of this scene. I really try hard to like Jennifer, and I just can't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And I'm happy to say that, because I really am being authentic. I try really hard. And in her good moments, I'm like, she's not that bad. And then she just opens her mouth and something really awful comes out.
Yeah. So yeah. Where are you with Jennifer right now? Not in a very good place, I
would say. I do not
speak
to Jennifer at all. And it started with that video.
Yeah.
It really did. This summer, we were friends. Last summer, we were friends.
Right.
We were even going to take our daughters together in July to a concert, to JoJo Siwa. And then she went out with Teresa and made that video. And I like lost a lot of respect for her then.
Right.
I said, she's the type of person, you never want to feel like people are talking about you when you leave a room. Those yeah. are not the type of people you need to be around. And I never felt like Jennifer wasn't stabbing me in the back when I wasn't there.
What about Dolores? We know there's been some tension with you guys earlier yeah. on this season, but I think yeah. last time you were here, you said you guys are in a better place now.
Yeah. Once Dolores and I made up, we really made an effort to get to know each other and to get to see the good parts of each other. And Dolores and I have really gotten to a very good place.
Good.
I like her a lot.
I like her a lot too. I'm yeah. glad to hear that. And yeah. what about the rest of the cast? How are you and Teresa? There was tension there.
Yeah. That's a really good question, because last year going into reunion, I was like, me and Teresa are fine now. And then we all saw what happened at reunion. So I would like to think that Teresa and I are okay. We lasted the entire rest of the season fine. So I hope that we're okay. I feel like we got a little closer in the Hamptons, and then nothing bad happened after that. So I don't know. I think that we're fine. But Teresa, when something like triggers her in her head, she gets bothered by something. You don't know about it, but she gets angry again. So I don't know if maybe like my relationship with Melissa might rub her the wrong way, or if someone else does something bad and it like reflects on me. So the short answer is I don't know.
Right. Right. Well, I think it's even Joe Gorga says this season, like, it usually takes Teresa 12 hours
yeah.
to decide how she feels mm-hmm. about something. So something could happen between now and
but
reunion.
But I like Teresa. And yeah. I feel like she did an amazing job of dealing with all the crap she had to deal with. I mean, I would be crying all the time if my kid's dad was trapped somewhere awful
yeah.
and my kids were always upset about it and I had all this on my shoulders, I'd be really upset too. So
yeah.
I commend her for how well she deals with things. I hope we're in a good place.
Yeah. So watching this season, you know, we've seen so much of what Teresa and the girls are going through and the phone calls they're having with Joe. When all of that was going on, how much were you aware of exactly what was going on?
I didn't know the conversations they were having at home. I didn't know how the girls were reacting to it. But I knew from what Teresa would discuss when we were all together
yeah.
that it was not easy. And she always put on a very strong face of, like, it is what it is. And this is the call I got today. And here's what I found out today. And it was never good news. So I had an idea, but I didn't know for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough to watch.
It is. It's really tough.
So before we wrap up, the last time we saw each other was at the Daily Mail holiday party.
Yes.
And I mentioned to you that Evan is quickly rising as a hot house husband.
Oh, my God. I think he's the hottest. But then people don't know him yet the way they know, like, other house husbands.
Right.
So whenever there's, like, a survey or something, I'm like, Evan, win. And, like, he just doesn't because, like, but he's up there. I mean, he's in the group. It's, like, him, Joe Gorga, Mario. Like, he's in the hot husbands group. But, like, the world hasn't caught on yet because they don't know him as well.
Right.
So, but you'll see him in the Jersey Shore episodes. He's there. And he's so gorgeous and such a great daddy. I really hope he takes over.
I know. I mean, so how does that make you feel? Like,
oh, I'm so proud to show him off. I really am. I'm so proud. Like, I don't know how many Jewish house husbands there are in the franchise. I don't know if there's any. Mauricio is Jewish. And so but I'm just so happy to, like, that my Jewish house husband is this, like, tall, muscular, bearded, like, hunky. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm proud to show him off. I'm proud that we're representing.
Yeah. Well, how does he react to this attention?
It. Yeah, he likes it. I cannot lie.
Okay, well, we expect more thirst traps on your Instagram, please.
Right? I got a few. I just, you know, he's a little more private than I am, so I have to, like, check things by him before.
But he does have his own Instagram now, right?
Yes, like, he does.
I mean, I am following, so
does.
I know that already, but. All right, Jackie, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
So great to see you.
Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
Do you believe that Charlie has never had pasta?
I've never had pasta in my life.
You've never had pasta?
No, I've never had pasta.
You've never had macaroni and cheese?
No, I have this theory that pasta is the reason why everyone's, like, gains weight.
I don't.
I'm just laughing, remembering her being like, well, I have this theory, it makes you fat. And Dana goes, no, I mean, that's a fact. Like, pasta, I think, does make you, like, if you eat a ton of, yeah, it's,
I mean,
a,
if
it's
you
a fattening
only eat
food
pasta, like, yeah, sure, but I mean, once in a while, I mean, to not have ever had it in your life. And I think Dana's even like, you haven't had macaroni and cheese, like, as a side dish, even? Come on.
Food culture's weird, because I will say that, like, I used to eat pasta all the time, and now, like, I would feel weird eating, like, a big thing of mac and cheese in the office.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean,
people here are judgy about, like, not here at Bravo, but in New York, don't you think? Like,
yeah.
People are very...
If that's your only thing you're eating is a giant bowl of mac and cheese.
Like, ugh, no, like, vegetables?
Oh. Right. Well, it's also, I mean, when you're younger and you're on a budget, pasta is cheap. It's easy to make.
But growing up, I ate spaghetti all the time.
I ate SpaghettiOs all the
time. Oh, I loved SpaghettiOs. I would still fuck with some SpaghettiOs.
Me too. Yeah. That doesn't even count as pasta. Like, I don't know what that is.
No.
It's not pasta. Anyway, do you think Lisa actually enjoys drinking Vanderpump Rosé, or do you think she orders it on camera because it's like,
obviously, she's doing the Bethany tactic. I think it's weird she hasn't come out with a tea line.
That's true. We always have PG tips on deck here for her when she comes in.
Yeah.
So it would be on brand for her. Something to think about, Lisa.
Yeah.
Sheena coming in with the receipts on Max. What'd you think about that?
Oh, well, I saw a meme that was something like guys to their friends, like, oh, I wouldn't, like being all tough with their guy friends. And then it was like guys in my DMs being like, please, miss, can I have a crumb of pussy?
Right. No, it's true. So I am curious about that in terms of, you know, guy, like, straight men. Remember last week you were like, Eric, you need to answer for men. Well,
yeah.
I can't answer this one of the way that, like, Max is. I mean, Sheena even calls it out. He's the definition of a fuckboy. Like, in 1 minute, he's telling you all of these sweet, nice things. And this happens to my gay friends when they're getting involved with a guy, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's romantic, it's nice, he's saying all these things, and then he ghosts you for weeks at a time or whatever. So it just, it's interesting to see men behave that way. Like, have you experienced that?
In yes. Your
life? Yeah.
And what's worse is there have been men who said, why don't you trust that I'm a nice guy who really likes you? And I'm like, because there have been so many instances where someone went over the top and acted like they did and then changed on a dime.
Well, even asking that question almost feels like a manipulation tactic.
Yeah.
Like, well, why don't you trust me? It's like, well, I've learned from other people. So, like, you really have to prove that you're better than that. And I think Max fell short on that front because – Sheena's like the editing with the like text bubbles popping up, and it's all these like wonderful things that he's saying. I mean, words only go so far, like actions speak louder than words. And I think Max, his actions have shown that he's a bit of a fuckboy, but he does come around and admit it.
Can we just get to the real part of this episode?
Yeah, because there's a lot to talk about here.
But I want to get to the Stassi and Sandoval situation. What did you think?
I honestly feel like Sandoval is way out of line here.
Thank you. I was going to be pissed if you disagreed.
No, no. I love Sandoval, but this is like one of those things where I think a drunken text when he wasn't in his right mind started it all, and maybe he had too much pride to go back and be like, I'm sorry, and he just like stuck with it and followed through and kind of caused a scene.
Yeah, but it's also just this idea of like, sure, you went to Schwartz. Sure, you went to Lisa, but you didn't come to me. Like, calm down.
Yeah.
I've not gotten a single text message.
I didn't come to you and kiss your ring?
No.
This is about you. I talked to Lisa.
Does Lisa make the schedule here? Does she?
Lisa owns most of this bar.
I get it, but she doesn't make the schedule.
I did a walkthrough with Schwartz while you were at a boys' night.
No, no, no.
How dare you come in here right now and do this? How dare you?
We all are aware that you're one half of TomTom. Like, no one in all of LA, in all of the Bravo fans, are unaware of that. You know what I mean?
Of course.
So it's like you don't actually need that extra validation.
No, and the other thing is the footage that they showed was him agreeing to the event.
Yeah.
Like, prior. And so I don't understand how 2 a.m. the night before the party is supposed to happen, all of a sudden you realize, oh, this isn't going to work. How dare you? I'm going to throw you the hell out. I don't blame Stassi for popping off the way that she did because, you know, she is a client. She's bringing people into TomTom who maybe have never been, who will come back with their friends. It just seems like not the right time or place to have that conversation with Stassi. So I don't blame her for popping off the way she did. I feel like I do the same thing.
Yeah. The one bone I will throw Sandoval is I totally understood how he was like Schwartz saying, well, you know, if all this fails, we could just get behind the bar.
Let's hold down the bar.
I'm not gonna bartend.
Why?
Dude, we're owners.
Because really, Schwartz, like, you have never been able to successfully bartend on this show. So I don't know if that's, you know.
Well, I think it comes out in next week's episode too that they were understaffed. I mean, they might mention it in this week's episode too. Like, it did seem like this event was understaffed, and I think Sandoval felt as though they weren't prepared for it. But he could have handled it in a much different way.
And it's not Stassi's problem.
It's not Stassi's problem at all. Like, that's when you show face and to the client, you're like, everything's fine, we got this, don't even worry about it. And then behind the scenes, you have those conversations with Tom, with the rest of your staff, whatever it may be. I mean, for Sandoval to not even offer, like, you know what, I'm going to come in then and help bartend too. He kind of shows up and, like, gets into a fight with everyone and then doesn't really help.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to show good leadership, I feel like that was an opportunity to do it, and he missed it.
I know some people will say, well, your partner shouldn't have to answer for your behavior. I don't know if I subscribe to that because, like, if Aaron did something that I didn't like, I would definitely tell him.
Yeah.
So I just felt like Ariana was not as critical of his actions as she should have been.
Yeah, even in private, she could have just been like, well, look, you could have handled
and
it.
Maybe she did, but
yeah, maybe we didn't see that, but I don't know. Well, next week, your boy Bo, I think he has a little conversation with Tom about this whole thing.
Just the preview of that, I got so turned on. Just, you know, I think he's perfect. And then for him to be like, I'm gonna stand up for Stassi, I was like,
right, he's doing what you were just kind of talking about, like, you know, kind of on the flip side. He's like, I'm going to come through and defend my girl because you came for her.
Yeah.
Bow, bow, bow.
I spoke with Vanderpump Rules' Kristen Doty. She shares her current relationship status with Carter, if she thinks she's going to be invited to Stassi's wedding, and if Jax has changed after becoming a married man. Plus, she reveals if Shep Rose hooked up with the server. Let's take a listen to that interview. Kristen, welcome back to the Daily Dish.
Hi, love.
So much has happened, not only since I last spoke to you, but I feel like since I last saw you and all your friends on my TV.
Yes.
This is the one show where I feel like so much goes down.
It changes like daily.
Yes.
It really does.
So I need like a little bit of a relationship update on everyone. Yeah. How are the witches of WeHo?
Well, as of right now, they're, you know, Stassi says it in the trailer, they're a little dunzo, but we'll see. I don't know how, you know, things change all the time. I'm cordial with the girls. Like, we're cool. They're kind. We just don't have that same friendship right now.
What about you and Brittany?
Oh, Brittany is like my everything. Brittany and I are still, yeah, thick as thieves.
How do you guys keep that separate?
I think it's hard for Brittany.
Yeah.
I hate that she's always put in that sort of that position of like, who am I going to hang out with? But I don't really put her in that position. I just say I'm coming over, and if they're uncomfortable with it, then they can deal with it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not your problem.
It's not my problem. I'm not the one with the problem.
But then you and Jax had a falling out.
I mean, Jax and I always fight.
Right.
We fight like brother and sister, and we're always going to. But no, Jax and I are great.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I have to know, which was worse, when you and Stassi had a falling out after she found out you slept with Jax, or what's happening right now?
What are you talking about? I don't even remember that. I mean, that was so much worse, obviously. But for some reason, whatever Stassi's POV is right now and like why she doesn't want it to be my friend, like I don't even know why. I honestly have no idea why. I'm going to watch this entire season with the viewers and hopefully get an idea, other than her selfishly trying to call me a liar because I'm going through a bad breakup, which I just think is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
But this feels like more permanent for sure. Who knows?
Was it weird at BravoCon? Were you guys talking then?
No, BravoCon was actually pretty cool because we were all there for a purpose, and we all were there like to be there for the fans that like bought these tickets and like celebrate this show we've all worked so hard on. So we were all like fairly cool, but then, you know, when we're back at the hotel, it's not like, you know, we're clinking champagne together in the same room.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of fun at BravoCon.
I mean, I did too.
It was a blast.
You guys were like rock stars there.
It was really fun.
Speaking of BravoCon.
Uh-huh.
So Shep Rose said that he has slept with a cast member of another Bravo show, aside from Southern Charm.
I want to know who it is. I was asked this earlier, if I've ever hooked up with Shep. Absolutely not.
Well, part of me thinks maybe it's Sheena, and I don't know if maybe you would know.
I don't think Sheena has slept. I mean, anything is possible. But I don't have that sort of way in my, I would say it. I would just be like, oh, well, they did. I feel like maybe they've like made out or something, or maybe they've hooked up in the past.
Yeah.
Sheena has a boyfriend now, so it definitely didn't happen at BravoCon.
Right.
But knowing Shep, I mean, it could be a housewife. You know what I mean?
That'd be amazing. It's Lisa Vanderpump.
That would be awesome.
Okay. How are you and Carter right now?
We are broken up. That also changes on the daily, changes hourly. If he's, you know, like we're trying to be friends, we're co-parenting our dogs. I still love him very much. I care about him. I want to try to maintain a friendship as time passes. I just don't think that, I think we can stay friends in a way that we can keep like chatting and scheduling the dog pickup, but hanging out is proving to be a lot more difficult for him than it is for me.
Well, another on again, off again couple on Bravo is Madison and Austin from Southern Charm. And when she was on the show, she said, look, I think that he's my twin flame. And it's like, we can't stay away from each other, yeah, but we also can't work together.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that's what it is?
Yeah, it does kind of feel that way because there was no real big reason. You know, it's not like we cheated on each other or we got into some big blowout fight over something specific. It's just, it's like, were these magnets, you know what I mean? Like South Pole, like just, we can't mesh for some reason. It's just not working. I think there's a lot of resentment. There's a lot of history. There's a lot of bickering between Carter and I. And I think neither of us are able to let certain things go. I mean, he felt very attacked, obviously, on the show like last season and attacked by my friends. And as much as we try to move past that, I just think he's always going to feel really embarrassed about it, which is why I continue to protect him. You know, he did the show for me. He didn't really sign up to have his life and his dirty laundry aired the same way that I have. So I just try to respect that. and I never say never. I mean, who knows? It could be a year or 2 years or 5 years from now. Like, maybe we do get back together. But like right now, it's just like not working for me. So single is good for me.
Well, it is confusing for me as a viewer because he always seems so nice and great. So I'm not sure what it is that Stassi or Katie are seeing in him that maybe the rest of us aren't.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously last season we talked about some things within my relationship with Carter that like were really bothering me. But I've let that stuff go. We broke up because we weren't working. We don't live together anymore. We did spend the summer sort of back and forth, like considering like, should we try dating again or should we not? And at the end of it, it just wasn't working. And it's just not a path I'm willing to go down. But Carter is one of the best men I've ever known in my entire life. Like, he did nothing wrong. He's a great guy. I just think there's just too much resentment. I think he's upset about the way they've trashed him on the show and in life. And then they're always going to be upset because I complained to them about my relationship falling apart, which right. I think is just so stupid. We've all done it. Yeah. We all do it. All women do it. We all complain about our boyfriends and husbands, and all of our friends think that they're all dirt bags essentially, but that's up to the friend. You know, it's up to the person in the relationship if they want to keep it going. We all have our dumb fights.
Right.
You know,
that just doesn't seem like enough to end this long friendship over.
I guess I will find out as the season goes on.
Do you think we see it?
I don't know. I hope so. I hope I get to see what they're saying when I'm not around.
Yeah.
Other than trying to call me a liar, because I didn't lie about anything. It's just messy.
Right. You have a new book coming out.
I sure do.
Tell me about it.
I'm so excited. It comes out June 2nd, 2020, available for pre-order on Amazon right now. It's called He's Making You Crazy. And I have a co-author named Michelle Alexander, who's one of my absolute best friends, ride or die. And yeah, we wrote the entire book together. I mean, morning, noon, and night, 14-hour days. It all happened pretty quickly as soon as we got our publishing deal. And I'm just so stoked. It's basically like the subtitle is how to get the guy get even and get over it. So it starts from my first kiss all the way to look where I'm at today, which is obviously single and trying to figure out who the one is, and the learning that I didn't have enough self-love. Like, I always thought pretty highly of myself, but just like owning all of that self-love, like you can't really love, you know, it's a very like a cliche thing to say, but you can't love anyone or accept love if you don't love yourself. So going on that journey and like noticing these patterns with all these guys that I've been dating since I was a teenager. And so it starts, you know, from there, and like how I would try to like get these men where I'm like, okay, now I'm going to change myself for you. And I'm going to, you know, just the things you tend to do. And when you start making these mistakes growing up and seeing how as women, like our self-confidence just gets chipped away over time with all these like dirt bags that you date. So it kind of just follows that whole journey. You'll see, or you'll read everything that you've already seen on the show and everything that you haven't.
Yeah. That's amazing. So if you're single, are you dating right now?
I am.
How do you go about dating?
It's weird and it's hard because I don't like strangers. So I was in this like friends with benefits mode for a little while where I'm like, okay, who are my single hot guy friends? Because I think guys and men and women can be friends. I just think you have to have sex first and then you can be friends. So I'm seeing someone right now, but I don't think that I need a boyfriend. I don't think I need or want one.
Was he a friend already in your life, or were you using apps? Okay.
Yeah. No, Raya won't accept me for some reason.
Oh, God damn it, Raya.
No, they're really not going to, because I talked about Raya. I'm thinking it's because Stassi got kicked off twice and they're just like, oh, no, not another one of those girls. So I just have to dip into the front pool.
Right. Because you can't go to like plebeian Twitter or anything.
No.
No. Or like Tinder.
Yeah. But dating is hard, I feel like. And that's something when I started dating again, we were finishing up the book. And all of a sudden we're having to like add in, like we're done with the book and we're like, actually we need, if we're going to be very honest, we have to add in all these new chapters now. Because now I'm like having this one guy like sexting me, and now I have like friends with benefits, and now one of the friends with benefits wants to date me. But then how do you navigate that? Because I'm not ready to not date him, but I also don't want a boyfriend. So it's like a very weird world. And to be 36 and dating is like really weird.
Yeah. Okay. Let's marry, fuck, kill with your exes on the show.
Okay, this will probably be really easy.
Sandoval, James, Carter.
Oh, shit. Well, definitely kill James. I would have to, I would have to marry Carter and fuck Sandoval.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. That will be the headline. Kristen that wants is the to headline. Fuck Sandoval.
Kristen wants to fuck Sandoval. Ariana, beware.
How are you guys, you and Ariana and Sandoval?
We are awesome. We are in the best place we've ever been in. Once, you know, obviously we've seen this over the course of the last few seasons on Vanderpump Rules. Once I stopped trying to sabotage their relationship, then they were like, okay, we'll give this bitch a chance, you know?
Funny how that works.
I know. And they're very supportive of James May. They're very supportive of my book. I'm very supportive with everything they're doing. So it's really nice to have them on my side. And Ariana and I have realized over the last few years, like, we're so much more similar than we ever thought we were.
It has to be a universal rule. And, like, that's why guys go after certain girls. Like, they have a type. So yeah. It makes sense.
And Ariana is just, like, I speak Tom's, like, friend language. Like, she speaks his love languages. Like, the things that irritated me about Tom for, the, like, almost 6 years that we dated are things that she is so patient and she adores about him. So knowing all of that now and being able to, like, kind of step outside the box and see that makes it so much easier too.
Yeah.
Because he's still, all of his little things still irritate the shit out of me, but I don't have to go home to them every
right.
night. You know?
Well, I mean, and I hope, I'm not trying to get you into hot water, but, like, I just was interviewing Jax and he's just like, I don't understand their relationship. Like, he thinks there's something missing.
I know, but it's like, who the hell's place is that to say? Like, right. We're not with them behind closed doors and they are adorable. And just because Ariana is very vocal that she is bisexual and that she doesn't want marriage or kids, but that's up to them.
Right.
Like, who the hell are we to judge what they have going on? They're happy. Let them be happy. Jax, calm the fuck down. Like, just because you're married doesn't mean you get to, like, throw stones, you know?
Yeah. Do you feel like Jax has changed at all since he's been married?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Oh, like night and day. I think when Jax decided that he was going to really commit to Brittany, he did like a total 180.
Interesting. Yeah.
I mean, he's still like bitchy Jax and he still has his little PMS mood swings, but Brittany is, it's kind of like the Tom and Ariana dynamic. Like, Brittany's so patient with that. She doesn't get irritated. When Jax goes off on me, I go off on him harder and Brittany just rolls her eyes and says, like, give him 5 minutes and he'll be fine.
Right.
But like night and day. Jax is, I feel like he's much more Jason Couchy right now than he is Jax Taylor.
Oh, that's a nice way of putting it. Yeah. Also, is she going to legally change her name to Couchy?
We were talking about that the other day. I don't, right now she's not, but I think what she was saying the other day was once they have children, because she would have their children take his last name, that she might.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting.
I mean, she really likes her last name, you know.
I do too.
She's like, can we all have Taylor? How about that?
How do you love your new home? It's so cute.
I love it. I mean, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of houses are hard. Like, relationships are hard. Houses are hard. Adulting is hard.
Yeah.
But I've lived there now like 7-8 months, I think. So still a lot of work to do. 1939 fixer upper. I've done a lot of the major renovations and now I'm just like pumping the brakes. I'm like, I'm just going to live here and not even go in those two rooms. I don't care. It's just me and my dogs anyway. I only need half the house.
Do you have furniture though?
Oh yeah.
Jax complained that Ariana and Tom do not have furniture.
Because they wanted custom furniture in their big giant mansion. Okay. I took everything from my apartment, moved it into my house, and then slowly started like fading things out.
Yes. I think that's a normal way of
doing it. Yeah, when you buy a house, you don't just go and buy all new furniture.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're not housewives.
Well, even though you guys are in a good place now, I do have to ask, and I hope you'll say, what happened between you and Jax that you, like, guys went through that little falling out?
Which one? I mean, we've had so many.
Well, the one where he blocked you on social media.
Oh, that you'll see that at the end of the season. Mostly that I didn't do anything. That was Jax doing something wrong, me calling Jax out for doing something wrong, and then Jax wanting to, like, have the upper hand. So he blocked me, Tom, Ariana. He, like, uninvited a bunch of us from, like, a pool party because he got called out for being wrong. Because that's Jax's MO.
Do you think you'll be able to fix things with Stassi before her wedding?
That's really on Stassi. She wanted space. I tried to make it work. Now I'm giving her the space and I'm done trying. I'm still kind to her. Like, I congratulate her on successes. That's kind of that's just where our friendship ends.
And it's the same with Katie?
Katie and I talk a little bit more often, but I think I always, like, I've had a lot of people ask me, like, do you think Katie's not talking to you because Stassi isn't talking to you? Because if you and Katie are sort of texting a little more often, well, then why won't you guys just be friends? And I think Katie is her own person. She's nobody's minion. She has her own opinions. But there's a part of me that feels like unless Stassi does want to be friends again, I think until she gets married, everyone's just going to be like, maybe we'll wait to be friends with Kristen until after the wedding.
Oh.
So it's just, it's really on her.
Yeah.
I'm just living life.
How are things with Lala?
Lala and I are cool. We have no beef. We're good. But again, I think it's that dynamic of those four girls now, like essentially Lala, like taking my place in that group. And I think it's just hard for, it can be hard for Lala. It can be hard for Brittany to be like, oh, who do we invite? Like, do we want Kristen or do we want Katie and Stassi? Because we can't have all three.
Mm.
That's fine. That's on them. I'm a really good time.
I mean, yes, we've seen on the show. Have you and Sheena gotten closer this season?
Yeah, Sheena and I have always been close. We just have we've had blips in the radar here and there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sheena and I are great. I love her new boyfriend. I love that she's happy. I think she's really finally starting to like grow into herself and not be so wishy-washy. And I think she's, you know, I think she's just living now and she's like owning the fact that she's living. And I think everyone needs to just let Sheena live. Mm. Just let Sheena be Sheena.
Yeah.
That's why we love her. She's hysterical.
Any temptation to date some of the new cast members on Vanderpump Rules?
No. They're too young for me.
Kind of cute though.
I mean, I didn't say I wouldn't have sex with any of them. I just don't want to date them.
Fair. What can you tell us about this season so viewers know that they need to tune in?
Oh God. Well, yeah, I mean, you guys are obviously going to watch this ride of me and Katie and Stassi with me, because again, I don't know. So maybe we'll all find out something glorious together and all in the world will make sense. And obviously a lot of stuff with Carter and I, Jackson Brittany's wedding. I cannot wait to watch that. I lived it. It was amazing. It was like the best 3 days. A lot of drama, but also it was just so beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, and Lance Bass was there officiating the wedding. So, like, that's cool as hell. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, it's just the dynamics again. I mean, I feel like it's like that every season, but it's like that every day. It's like that right now when we're not filming. So, I just think it's going to be a really interesting ride for everyone to take with us. And we're all like growing up a little bit, but we're still like the same assholes we always have been.
Yes.
That will never change.
God love you for it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Atlanta.
Oh, please. Okay. So they go back to the spa where they've had some issues before.
Mm-hmm. 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Damn.
It feels like a flash, you know?
I know.
I appreciated that Portia was so blunt to Tanya and was like, oh no, Kenya was talking about you. Like, when was clear that she was looking at you. But also, did you feel like Portia was insinuating that she doesn't think Tanya's pretty? She was like, why else would Kenya keep saying, and this girl was beautiful?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
That's so mean.
I mean, that's Kenya. That's shady.
No, but it was Portia that was like, of course she meant Tanya. Because
she assumed that that's what.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Portia didn't mean it that way, but that's just how it came out.
She was definitely talking about Tanya, because the more she was telling her story, she was saying the girl was beautiful.
A beautiful woman. A sexy woman.
And I was like, well, most side bitches ain't even as good looking as the main girl. She was like, no. This one was beautiful.
Yeah, that was like a little like, cringy. Open mouth, insert foot.
Yeah. But maybe she didn't mean it that way. Maybe I just took it that way. I don't know. But good on Tanya. Okay, first of all, it would not have even occurred to me to look inside the bag or the box or
really?
Whatever it was. Right. And that is wrong, because I've seen Broke Down Palace. You need to be careful about traveling and what you have in your bag.
Otherwise, you're going to end up in a Thai prison and a cockroach is going to crawl in your ear.
Yeah, and then, ugh.
It's a great movie if no one's seen it.
I love that you've seen it. It's one,
I love that movie.
I've seen it so many times. But yeah, it wouldn't have even occurred to me. So first of all, that's very smart that she did it. But then I thought it was smart that she's like, you know what, Kenya... Like, I'm going to show everyone that you're a liar.
I know. I mean, it's very brave for Tanya to make the choice to come for Kenya. I mean, Kenya has really decimated people in the past. And I think Tanya's like, I'm not going to be afraid of this, and I'm going to just go for it. And she pulled out that wig with no shame, and everyone freaked out. There was a really great meme that was going around where it was Marlo and Portia had their Friday moment, and it was side-by-side scenes with a scene from the movie Friday of them being like, whoa, and like moving back, and it's so perfect. You have to find it. I'll send it to you.
I know what you're talking
about. Oh my God, it's so good. But yeah, I mean, Tanya was like, I'm going to let everybody know. I'm going to let everybody know that she's wearing a wig.
Which, by the way, is not a problem.
Right.
Except that Marlo specifically asked, and Kenya said, no, she was not.
Well, and then they showed footage of Kenya being like, this is my natural hair. This is my natural hair. And in some of those instances, it might not have been her natural hair that she was saying.
But maybe it was.
Maybe.
Try to pull my hair. I don't care. Mine is real. Really, bitch? Really, bitch? Really, bitch?
Who's to say? Well, yeah, I mean, I think later on, Candy returns the wig to Kenya and also kind of puts Tanya on blast a little bit, mentioning that, you know, Kenya and Tanya were talking about pregnancy and the complications and that sort of stuff. And I think Tanya revealed more than Kenya anticipated that she would in that conversation. It was more of a private conversation. So I think now Kenya has more ammunition to go after Tanya with. So
yeah.
This is only the beginning.
But don't you find it odd, like the things that production is sort of choosing to gloss over? Like we never even saw the conversation with Cynthia and Tanya except a quick flashback.
Right, that
about
is true.
Being like, oh, hey, just so you know, this woman said this thing. Like, right. Is it because they're like, there's no credence to this rumor? It doesn't matter or what?
I don't know. That is interesting.
Yeah.
That a lot of the storyline is coming from flashbacks
yeah.
and whatnot. But I don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. So the Dennis stuff, I have to say, you know, I've been very unhappy with Dennis mm-hmm. since he cheated on Portia. But I thought it was super amazing of him to be like, I need to take accountability and I'm going to sit down your mom and sister and my mom and talk about this.
Because I agree.
What I did affected the whole family.
I could have did this individually. I've had conversations with my mom already. But like we really couldn't get to like this point without y'all helping with PJ. So I really appreciate that. Secondly, you know, me and Portia have been through some rough times in the last 2 months.
Felt like a year.
It felt like a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels longer.
Dealing with, you know, my infidelity. And I just want to apologize to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, Portia was obviously the most hurt by it. But then, you know, that also goes and affects Miss Diane. That affected Lauren. They were there supporting her and being there and helping to take care of PJ. So I thought it was great that they had a moment to be able to express themselves to Dennis, because how else do you heal? You know, if you just gloss over it and don't say anything and move on, there might still be a buildup of animosity or resentment towards Dennis. So it was good that everyone was able to sit down and speak on it the way that they did. I was surprised a little bit that his mom didn't have more to say, because Mama Gina has been quite vocal in the past. But I think to Portia's point, knowing that Dennis was really the only one in the wrong here, she had no place to really step in. But it's interesting she never really reached out to Portia.
You know, when I've been in the wrong, Mama Gina has been very swift in coming in and letting me know when I've been wrong.
Why you want to wait so long? Have a private ceremony and get married? Do you want to be a baby mama or wife?
So I just would have felt like in a situation like this where Dennis had wronged me, she would jump in and let him know what he's done wrong as well, because his mom was just as invested as my mom was.
Isn't that kind of weird?
I think a mom is always going to back her son, even if he does something bad.
But there's like a grandchild involved now. You know, it's not just like Portia being affected. It's her granddaughter.
I'm not saying it's right, but like, what is she supposed to do? Like, sorry, my son's an asshole. I mean, I guess that would be nice.
Even if it's just like a text message, you know, like
yeah.
She doesn't have to call her every day. But I feel like reaching out and just saying, you know, I'm sorry for what you're going through. If there's anything you need from me, I'm here. I'm the one out here, you know, yelling at Dennis every day about what he did. You know, I think it was just an opportunity for Mama Gina to show a bit of a warmer side, perhaps, than we've seen. But
yeah.
I don't know. I do have to say that I was really happy to see more from Eva this episode with everything she's going through with Marley and the name change, and she's a Sterling now, and just it's proof that family is what you make it, and yeah. It doesn't have to be a very structured, specific sort of conventional way. And it just was really nice to see that journey for them, because I feel like we haven't seen a lot of Eva this season. She's just kind of like pregnant and then like coming and going from parties. Yeah. But it was nice to have some time with her and see her go through that. And Marley is so cute.
Yeah.
I love Marley. Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Yes.
What was your rose?
Okay, so my rose is Eva's son, Mikey. He is so cute. You don't find him to be the most beautiful child you've ever seen?
Well, you know I am partial to Monique's daughter on Potomac.
She is beautiful, too.
I am partial to her, but you're right.
I just feel like I hadn't really seen him until this episode, and I was like, holy shit, that kid is cute.
That's true.
I'm not really like a kid person, but like, it was a beautiful child.
And she makes good-looking children.
Yeah.
My rose was from Below Deck, and it was them preparing for the next charter guest. And Captain Lee said, can we get those little dick lollipops? And just hearing Captain Lee say those words made me so happy. And, unlike the rest of this episode, which made me very mad.
Just like the smile on Kate's face. Like, sure, we'll get that for you.
We'll get the little dick lollipops.
Can we get any of those like little dick lollipops?
Anything for you, Captain.
My thorn is from Below Deck, and it's all the eating of the scorpions and the crickets. And
like, I want a scorpion on a stick in the worst way.
Do you remember that time a couple years ago we had one of the top chefs in here?
Go ahead, tell the story.
And he brought in grasshopper to put in like a taco. It was like a bunch of different kinds of tacos that he was making. And I remember Crystal and I both tried it, and honestly, it was pretty good.
I want to vomit.
I wouldn't like get it out. Like if I was going to get tacos, I'd be like, fish tacos, please, not the grasshopper option. But to try it.
No.
Right. I don't think I'd ever try scorpion. I wouldn't. It's too risky. Like there'd be like just enough poison left over or something that I'd be like, mm-mm. My thorn is, where is Raquel? Vanderpump Rules. We need more Raquel.
Okay, well, I've watched ahead. You're going to get her, okay?
Well, how much longer do I have to wait? Because you know I love her, and she's so sweet, and she just, like, makes me laugh, even if she doesn't mean to.
Right.
And I just want, I want her back.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
And next week, we have an interview with Sheena Shea. 10-9-8-7-6-5-4-3-2-1-9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays.
You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys.